I will say too, and I've gone to a lot of training seminars throughout the years, and usually three or four a year I'm going to, the consensus is with other advisors, they don't really agree with this strategy by Dave or some of the other things that he talks about.
It's time for the Retirement Reality Podcast with the founder of Principal Preservation Services, Mike Koyanen.
Thanks for joining us on the Retirement Reality Podcast. I'm Ben George alongside Mike Koyanen, the founder and owner of Principal Preservation Services. Today, we're talking about Dave Ramsey a little bit, a very popular investor and a guy with investment advice and financial advice, but there may be some things you need to be worried about. And just in general, anybody that gives you advice, some things you got to be a little bit aware of because it doesn't fit everybody every single time. And we're going to talk about just some of the advice he gives and some things you need to be thinking about with this advice as well. So let me welcome in Mike to the show and see how you're doing, Mike. What's new with you?
Well, it's almost summer. You know, summer's here in a sense. Weather's nice. You know, up here in, you know, the upper Midwest here, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the trees go dormant here in the wintertime. No leaves on there. So it always gets me excited to see green on the trees and being outside in short sleeve and shorts. And this is my favorite time of the year. Really, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, that's what I love.
I know we were talking about a little bit before the show started about the Vikings. What's the overall sense right now? People pretty excited about the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think there's always that hype, and especially we've been so deprived of all sports, you know, during this pandemic. I believe it's going to be exciting because we don't know what is going to happen with the college football even. The tough thing is, there's a lot of Packer fans up here, but we're right on the border, but the Vikings came out with a really tough schedule. So yeah. I think they said they had the second hardest schedule in the league. And they play some amazing quarterbacks on the road. You know, they play on the road at Tampa with Tom Brady. They play on the road on Christmas Day with Drew Brees. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best in the league. That's every year. But even have to play in Seattle on a Sunday night game with, Russell Wilson. So there's a lot of tough. And now we even have to be on the road with what's his new quarterback at the Colts here, Phillip Rivers. Oh, yeah. So we have a lot of good quarterbacks. And on the road into Texans with Deshaun Watson. So we don't have an easy schedule at all. I don't think anybody does, but it's going to be a tough year.
And everybody's just excited to get back, and hopefully we can all go and go tailgate and go visit these stadiums in person and actually be hanging out with our friends again and getting out. I know that's what we're all kind of anxious about. We got a few more months to get there, so hopefully everything gets worked out. I can't imagine the NFL not playing money is involved. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I know during this whole pandemic as well, Mike, there's been a lot of people. The bad news has been the health crisis. It's been the financial crisis. But the bright side in a lot of these situations is you see humanity and people wanting to give back and help out their neighbors and their friends and whatnot. It's got me thinking a little bit. What's for you, what's a charity that you really care about and pay attention to?
There's a couple of them. One thing that I'm really excited about is a charity called Operation Underground Railroad. And Tim Ballard is the founder there. He's an ex-CIA agent just working with the government and actually helped rescue kidnapped, stolen children, in sex trades. And unfortunately, one sad story about that is, the United States is the biggest supporter of that operation, the illegal operation of kidnapping children and using them in that sex industry, which is a tough subject to talk about. Nobody wants to think of how dark that is, but he left the government to give more freedom, started his own organization, and he's been actively going under there, having a team to go and actually get these children back, which is great. And I just, if you have children, you just couldn't imagine without mm-hmm. having your children be taken from you and living in just awful experience. And I couldn't help them. And, as much as we can help them, financially. And I'm actually involved with, my wife and I decided last September, we met Tim and we decided to jump on board in one of his documentaries to help people be aware of this. So actually we're one of the producers of the upcoming documentary, which is going to be talking about the operations, what's going on in the United States. It's happening right here under our noses, under our eyes, and people don't know it. So they're going to bring the awareness here in the United States of how it's happening here. And so we're actually financially involved with that documentary.
That's awesome. I'm going to check them out. You said Operation Underground Railroad?
Yeah, Operation Underground Railroad, Tim Ballard. Okay. Doing great work.
Very good, very good. Well, thanks for sharing that for us. Well, let's jump into our main topic today. And again, remember, you can find all of our conversations online at principalpreservationservices.com. You can also find Mike's latest webinar, Keep Calm and Retire On. It's what we all are looking for, a little advice on how to keep calm during this transition. But today's conversation is, you know, should you be wary of some of Dave Ramsey's advice? And, you know, he's earned a lot of respect through the years among savers and investors. Because, you know, you look at his radio show, he's got books, he performs live across the country. But is all of his advice really worth following? And is it possible that some of the things that he talks about will actually hurt you financially? So I want to take a look at some of these things and just take a critical approach. And you should do this with everything in life. You know, take a critical approach, ask questions, you know, determine the answers for yourself. So let's do that today, Mike, on this episode. So let me start off with something he talks about quite a bit. And we hear this term a lot, and that's the debt snowball. What do you make of the debt snowball, and what's something that you need to kind of be careful about?
Yeah, and I think, first of all, you said it best, Ben, is take, you know, take the good or the bad, and it's good to be critical in this situation, and not, you know, we don't want to follow people blindly. This is one of the points that I really do like what Dave Ramsey talks about, and I've shared this similar strategy when I've done a lot of TV interviews as well, helping people get out of debt. And, you know, the debt snowball is you attack your, if you have, you know, credit card debts or student loan debts, you know, we're talking about the bad debts, having a plan of attack to get out of debt, you want to attack that lowest payment first. So what you do is you make all the minimum payments on all your other debt, don't pay anything extra, apply all the extra funds that you can afford, apply to that smallest debt till it's paid off. And of course, you're going to pay that one off sooner because it's the smallest debt. Once that is freed up, now you take that same cash flow and make the minimum payments on everything else, but now you apply that to that next lowest debt, and you're just going to, you know, make some really good headwind and pay that off. It's like a snowball that's just building ground on the way down the hill. So it's a great strategy. And just paying off debt feels good anyways, but you seem to catch this momentum as you're paying these off. And when you have six or seven debts and you get the first one, the second one, and now you're over halfway done, you're like, I really see this. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's a good plan, and it's a good way to people visualize how to get that debt paid off.
Okay, so debt snowball, pretty good thing to follow, and pretty good general advice to keep in mind as you're trying to pay off debt. The next thing I want to bring up is, you know, kind of paraphrasing, Ramsey will often kind of say, hey, just invest in mutual funds, meaning just pick out a couple of different mutual funds, maybe one that's aggressive, maybe one that's a little bit conservative, maybe an international mutual fund, and just split your money up between those mutual funds, and you'll be pretty good.
This is one we don't have 100% agreement on. And, you know, I will say, too, and I've gone to a lot of training seminars throughout the years, and usually three or four a year I'm going to. The consensus is with other advisors, they don't really agree with this strategy by Dave or some of the other things that he talks about. First of all, mutual funds, just so you know, it's a conglomerate of a bunch of other stocks. And so when you have, you know, a bunch of mutual funds, it's expensive. So we all say that if you have money, people who have money buy stocks because they're more expensive. But, you know, what are the costs of stocks? There is no fee for a stock. But if you buy mutual funds, now you have fees, and mutual funds are expensive. And it's a conglomerate of stocks because you can't afford to maybe buy, you know, Amazon today is right around $2,400 a share. It's like, I don't want to just buy one share of Amazon, but I can buy this one mutual fund that's made up of Amazon and Google and Apple and, you know, whatever else might be, a mixture of a whole bunch. And so you're able to actually invest in multiple different companies by buying one mutual fund. But the problem is, this isn't the best strategy for, we believe, long term, is because the expensiveness of it, you're losing ground when you have to pay fees. So fees affect your performance. And some of the things that he talks about, being just invest in aggressive and a growth and an income and an international, you know, these blanket investments that say this is going to work for everybody is not. Maybe this is a better situation for somebody who's younger, 20s or 30s. But if you're in your 50s, 60s, typically this is something that, when we sit down with somebody in Casey's doing a risk assessment in our office, this is something that's typically not giving advice to our pre-retirees.
Okay. Well, I know on several occasions, if you listen to Dave, you know, he talks about the return on your money that you should get. And he's even said, like, you can expect double digits, 10, 12% return on your money if you follow his guidance. And then even when he talks about, you know, retirement and spending in retirement, which is a big conversation I know you have with clients quite a bit, but he even says you can spend 8% of your money per year in retirement and be just fine. Do you agree with those numbers, and how do you approach those conversations with clients?
Yeah, I think you were setting some really unrealistic expectations on that, because we just look at, you know, the 20-year average of just the S&P 500 index. We're just talking about the raw index from 1999 to 2018. Now, remember, 2018 wasn't a great year. The S&P averaged less than 4%. It was like 3.6%. Now, obviously, you move that number from 2000 to 2019, that 20 years, now it's an average over 5. But to put expectations of getting 12% return on your money is crazy. And to be able to take out 8% out without affecting really your principal and having enough money to live, I just think that's unrealistic. If you're expecting returns like that consistently on an average, that's just too high when the S&P 500 hasn't done that. The market's changed drastically in the last 20 years from where it was the previous generations and decades. You look at BlackRock. You might have heard of BlackRock, Ben.
Yeah, I have.
Very large financial institution. I think they're in the top three financial institutions in the world. They came out even a couple of years ago stating that, you know, the rule of thumb of if you want to take withdrawals out of your accounts, in the past, they used to be 5%, and then they dropped it down to 4.5%, and then they says 4%. They're saying it should be between 3.5% to 4% of your withdrawal rate to make sure your money's going to last. You know, so he's talking about a return taking out 8%, and BlackRock is talking about taking about half of that out to make your money last. So we don't really plan on that. Now, we have years like last year, 2019, the S&P made 31%. I think a lot of people in a moderate portfolio made, you know, 15 to, you know, 20% probably, if you're just more moderate risk. Those are great years, but that's not every year, right? So you have to go back the previous year, it was a negative 6. So, you know, so even just in the 2018 and 2019 average, if you're in a moderate portfolio, you might have averaged 10. You're still not averaging 12. I don't know where he's getting these numbers. I think he's a little out of date with these.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant difference between 3% and 8% when it comes to your money in retirement. So you want to have that conversation with an advisor and make sure you have a plan for what you're spending and what income you have coming in, because that could be really detrimental to you down, later in life if you run out of money. So nobody wants to be in that boat. You know, he talks about debt a lot, right? We've kind of touched on a little bit. But one thing he talks about with paying off debt is to cut retirement savings in that process. And he says, you know, stop contributing to your retirement plans until you get out of debt, maybe the exception being your mortgage debt. Do you think this is ill-advised for many people?
I do. I don't agree with him on this as well. You know, one thing I think is when we make decisions and we're, you know, when we're paying bills and we're working, and I think everything is habitual. We get in habits. We're, you know, people are creatures of habits. And so when you stop investing into your investments and you're focusing only on debt, I just think that's a bad thing. I think you should be doing both. Because what if your employer is offering you to match 3% or 5% of your contributions, of your income, but you're not contributing now, you're just losing out on free money. So what I would recommend is, yeah, maybe in the meantime, as you're paying off debt, invest enough to get that free money. And even if you're not getting a match, I still think you should be investing something to make it a habit that you know this is growing. And you also, when you're investing, you're also getting dollar cost averaging as well. And you might miss out some bad or good times in the market, a good opportunity to invest. You know, so if you're focusing on paying off debt, and then when your debt is paid off, now the market's at a high point, and now you start investing, well, you could have lost some really good opportunity in the previous years. We just want you to keep doing both. You might have to retract some a little bit, but you still keep doing everything at the same time.
Well, you know, his seven baby steps are really, you know, very popular, and they are solid, and they are very beneficial for a lot of people. But to me, it seems like that seven baby steps, kind of one size fits all approach, is kind of the opposite of why you want to sit down with an advisor and work with somebody to build a financial plan, because you want it to be customized to your needs and your goals in retirement. So, I mean, do you agree that the seven baby steps are good, but they're not going to be what exactly you need for your situation.
I agree with you, Ben. Yeah, I think these are good rules to live by. You got to take some of the good with the bad and what are more appropriate for you. Not everybody's situation is different. You know, I think one thing that he's got a good name from himself through the church system is, you know, he's done Financial Peace University. I've never gone through it. I haven't had to you know, worry about it. I know he focuses a lot of, you know, getting rid of debt. So a lot of the things he does say, he has some really good advice, and he's really forcing, I think, the younger generations to focus on getting rid of, you know, debt and just teaching people to start investing. I think a lot of the things he's doing is great, but just putting these blanket statements that these seven steps are going to get you financial success isn't accurate. You really need to have more of an individual, you know, plan. That's why you sit down with a financial professional, like one of our members here at Principal Preservation is great, just so you can find out what is the most appropriate for you, because you're not going to get these seven steps. You're not going to talk about, you know, tax benefits and Roth conversions, and you're not going to get all these details and projections. And if you're just trying to just blindly just invest in a few mutual funds and also with the paying off debt, it just focusing only on debt only, but not investing. I just think that's a bad habit to get into, because, you know, what if you do focus on debt and then you acquire more debt? Well, then you're not going to, you know, things happen, especially with this whole pandemic. A lot of people acquired a lot more debt than they anticipated because they weren't expecting this. And then now they're going to focus on paying off debt some more and not going to be able to keep investing. Well, this is some of the best opportunity to be investing the last couple of months, because the market had taken a big dip. And, you know, even myself, I took advantage of the situation. I know a lot of people did as well. They said, boy, you know, look at these stocks are down 30%, 50% from where they were. You know, you look at oil stocks were at a 21-year low here last month. It's like you couldn't have picked a better opportunity to get in some of these investments. But yeah, one size fits all is not something that we believe in here at Principal. We want individual plans designed for you and your situation.
I think the final kind of note to leave it on and kind of thought to leave listeners with, and we talk about this from time to time, is know you know, who the audience is for these financial experts that you see in the media or you watch or you listen to. Because, you know, I think a lot of times in Dave Ramsey's case, his audience is going to be younger people, right? I mean, people that are in debt, massive debt, that just maybe have a lot of student loan debt or just got out of college or just, you know, newly married that are taking on a lot of debt. This is the audience, whereas a lot of the people you work with, Mike, are not in the same demographic.
Yeah, you're right. I think that a lot of people who get the most out of those Financial Peace Universities at the churches are people in their 30s. You know, they have a family and children, and they're acquiring debt, and they got a house and car payments, and they're paying daycare, and they've gotten some credit card debt, and they're finally say, we can't do this. That's great, but most people that we're working with are in their, you know, mid-50s, you know, to 60s, pre-retirement, retirement, and some in 70s, and they're not having as that much debt. You know, they do have debt, but not to the point of what the 25 and 35, 40-year-olds have. So, yeah, you're right. So the core audience is totally different, and that's why I don't believe following strictly Dave Ramsey's advice for retirement, if you're in that pre-retirement, retirement age, is I don't believe in your best interest.
Yeah, so look, keep the good stuff that he provides and throw out the rest that you know doesn't apply to you. That's kind of the way to go about it. And really the way to go about anybody that you listen to and anybody that you talk to. And that's why we encourage you to sit down with Mike Coynan or Casey over at Principal Preservation Services and sit down and build your customized plan. Not this one-size-fits-all or these kind of general guidelines to follow. Figure out what works for you. I mean, figure out the exact plan that you need to be successful in retirement. And that's what you guys do every day, right, Mike?
We do every day. And we have a process. So it's the nice thing is you're never going to feel like you're pressured to do anything. I always tell people, this is your money. You have to make the best decision. We just want to inform and educate you as best we can so you can make those you know, wise decisions. People who have confusion don't make decisions because they don't know what they're supposed to do or how they're supposed to do it. And so that's why we just educate you through a process. We get to know you. It's called a discovery meeting. Then we gather that information. We put together into our software. We go over an analysis of how your retirement, the way you're doing things today would look like if you just kept doing it the way you are doing it. And then that leads us to a third meeting. We do a solution meeting. We would show you this is the way you're doing it. This is the way we would do it. Let's compare the two and how that looks different. And if you like that, we can implement that and help you along the way. If you don't, hey, it's your money. We're not going to lose sleep over it. We just want to work with people who want to be helped and understand that we can actually extend the life of your money by taking on some less risk and have more hands-on approach to your dollars in retirement.
The number to reach Principal Preservation Services is 855-987-8888, and they can be found online as well at principalpreservationservices.com. You'll find Mike's new webinar there. Keep Calm and Retire On, as well as every single episode of the Retirement Reality Podcast. It's all archived right there. A lot of great information. You can go back as you have some downtime and revisit some of the topics we talked about, many of them. Really, all the principles and conversations we have continue to apply day to day. So go back and check those out. And hit subscribe when you have an opportunity to, wherever you listen to this podcast as well. So, all right, Mike, well, we didn't, you know, not trying to take shots at Dave Ramsey, but just trying to help people understand, you know, don't pay attention and listen to everything you hear in the media. Work with an advisor, get specific advice.
I agree. And Dave's a great guy. It just doesn't mean we have to dislike each other. We just don't agree with their investment advice.
Indeed. So, Mike, thanks for the time. We'll chat with you again on the next episode of the Retirement Reality Podcast.
Sounds good, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.